painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Ever wonder what it's like to get a degree in neuroscience and then completely switch gears to acting? You'll find out today. We visit with a unique individual who's new to the Great River Shakespeare Festival this year. We'll discuss this actor's artistic process, what motivates him, and much more. You're listening to Artbeat. Good afternoon. It's Tuesday, and I have a member of Great River Shakespeare Festival with me. Yes, it is that time of year. The company has descended upon Winona earlier this month, and we couldn't be more delighted. And we're especially delighted to introduce you to a new company member. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Gerard Taylor.
Gerard, welcome to Winona.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, tell us, where'd you come from?
I'm originally from D.C., but because of college and school, I've been in Baltimore for 4 years and Las Vegas for the past 3 years.
There's two ends of the spectrum for you.
One side of the country to the other.
So tell us a little bit about why you decided to get involved in theater.
Okay, well, long story made short, I'm originally a neuroscience major.
Whoa!
Yeah. So I was in Baltimore going to Johns Hopkins University. And at this school, they have a pretty good theater program. It's headed up by John Astin, who you may or may not remember from the original Addams Family TV show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he actually got me interested in acting, and he sort of pushed me in this direction at the same time that neuroscience was becoming not the sort of thing I was interested in. And I was in a show, and then I ended up being in several more shows, and I ended up going to grad school, and now I'm here.
So they hooked you.
Yeah. Love at first sight.
Can I ask you what your family thought of the switch?
Oh. Well, at first there was a lot of silence and a lot of okay, we'll let you do this, and you know, I'm sure this is just a phase, and you'll come back to science eventually. That never really happened. But I think my family has been supportive of everything I've done, and eventually they came around to this too. And I think they want the best for me, and they're happy that I'm doing what I love.
Now, is Shakespeare your main bag, so to speak, or are there other areas of theater that you dabble in?
I love doing Shakespeare. I don't necessarily have a lot of experience in it, but because of grad school and the training there, I've done, you know, a decent amount of work in it, and I like it a lot. Actually, my main background is kind of musical theater.
Okay.
Yeah. I've done probably more musicals, at least before grad school, than anything else. So a lot of my beginning acting training has been in musical theater, and I've danced and sang, and that's been a lot of what brought me into that sort of theater, because they were like, oh, we need a dancer, okay, that guy can dance, you're in.
Can you do this? All right, you're in.
Excellent. Yeah, exactly.
So in your grad school training, what did you focus on, because I know that usually there's a focal point.
Sure.
In that training,
I guess the focus of the grad school training was sort of aimed at integrated expression. So pretty much just looking at how the body and the voice work together, and how you can be sort of presentational. And I think that comes across because the body and the voice aren't connected.
Okay, yeah.
But when you can find an integration and sort of sit in your body and sit in your weight, the voice connects to the body. So a lot of the training was looking at integrated expression and how we can, you know, play actions in an integrated way. Or if we don't, know that it's for the purposes of the text and of the characters in the play. So that was a lot of the training. And in doing that, we worked with Michael Lugering, who's the head of the voice and movement training at UNLV, and he has a book out called The Expressive Actor. And it pretty much looks at a lot of, who's the dancer? Hawkins.
Okay.
A lot of Hawkins' technique and how that applies to acting and moving on stage. And then there's a lot of movement training, yoga, Pilates, a lot of modern dance. And then we sort of take the principles that we learn in these classes and apply them to contemporary scripts, Shakespeare, and sort of the classical American realism type of plays.
It's interesting how you say connecting the voice and the body together, uh-huh. because, I mean, Stanislavski was all about getting inside that character. So this is kind of like doing it in a different way, embodiment.
Well, yeah. It's funny because I was actually talking with my roommate about this yesterday, how Michael, my professor, sort of looks at the world in two different views. You can look at the world in a first functional sense, or you can look at it in a second functional sense. First functional pretty much being a sensing way of seeing the world. You know, I can feel this, you know, these things perceive to me in a certain way. Second functional being more of an intellectual approach to the world. So, for instance, I can look at the sweater you're wearing right now, and I can say, oh, it's a black sweater. It's a soft sweater. It's a comfortable sweater. These are all second functional things or sort of factual, intellectual things I can gain from seeing your sweater. But then I can also think of it in a first functional sense and say, okay, this sweater is gloomy, you know, or this sweater sort of feels...
How does it feel?
I don't know. It feels exciting, you know? And in the same way, we're getting at the same thing that Stanislavski wanted to get at, that being doing something to someone else on stage or sort of achieving an objective. But instead of coming at it with a, what does my character want in the scene, or what can I do to get what I want? We're looking at more of a, from the text, how do I sense this scene? And thus, how can I attack it physically? And how does that lead me to an action? So I can say, okay, just from reading the text and reading the clues given to me, this scene is kind of heavy. All right. So if I put that heaviness in my body, what types of things am I expressing? Okay, I may be expressing a sort of grit for the life that I'm living, or I may be expressing sort of a solemnness and trying to repent some past injury I may have done someone. And in the same sense, we're still getting at that verb. We're still getting at the doing of what's happening in the scene, but we're just coming at it from the opposite direction.
And look at that. You got a tool to use pretty much in any production that you're in.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I mean, that's really what any actor training should give you, I think.
Oh, boy. How did you get involved with Great River Shakespeare Festival?
So Paul Barnes came to UNLV to direct Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
And I played his Mercutio.
Okay.
And we had a fun time, and it was a... I personally thought our Romeo and Juliet was one of the better shows that we'd done in my 3 years there. So I think the show was really successful and pretty good. And I developed sort of a personal relationship with Paul, and that sort of led to him inquiring, or rather me inquiring to him about Great River, because I knew he was artistic director here. And we kept in touch after the show, and I asked him if there'd be any spots available this summer, and that's how I ended up here.
And now you're in Winona.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm loving the weather.
We all are. Yeah. It's bright, it's sunshiny, and I'm gonna pretend I'm somewhere else.
Well, you know,
literally end of the week.
After being in Las Vegas for 3 years, I can appreciate the rain.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give that to you.
I haven't had precipitation in a long time.
Well, you are going to get it, sir. Let's talk a little bit about why it is that you love what you do.
Okay.
So I can imagine that it would be fun to kind of jump into anything else as a form of escapism and live somebody else's life.
Uh-huh.
But for you, is that what it is? or what is it?
I think it's a little bit of that. Sort of what I love so much about theater is you get to experience things that you don't normally experience in everyday life. And I think that's true for the actor just as much as it's true for the audience. I think the audience can go through a catharsis in seeing something that day to day they may not experience, but in the theater they can get that experience. And I think the actor can get the same sort of catharsis in playing the role. I enjoy acting because of that. I think there's a lot to be learned about people that you may never meet, cultures that you may never interact with, places you may never go. And in acting, you sort of learn these things through experiencing life through the eyes of another person. And I really enjoy that aspect of it. That's sort of what I love most about it.
It sounds like you gain perspective.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Now, you talked a little bit about the method that you approach to acting and internalizing. But for you, when you're given a script, how do you go about preparing for it? Do you start with memorization or do you make notes? How do you prepare?
I don't like to memorize anything until sort of the first read through, just because I like to hear everyone else before I start locking things in. But I guess pre-first rehearsal, what I usually like to do is just read the script over and over and over again and see what kind of clues I get from it. I like to look at my character specifically and what other characters are saying about my character, what my character's saying about himself, and how all of these clues lead me to a perception of who my character should be, both in a first functional and a second functional sense. So I look at sort of the physical properties of my character. You know, what's his weight? Is he heavy or light? What's his orientation? Is he sort of expansive or more contracted? And I sort of look at all of these physical properties to create a character. In the same sense, I also look at what are my character's objectives, what does he want in each scene, and how is each scene different from the last. I also like to look at polarity, which is a Michael Chekhov concept, which says that a scene begins in a certain state and ends in an opposite state. So I like to look at the polarity of the scene and see how this scene began and how it ended, and then in the same sense, how the character started at the beginning of the play and how he ended at the end of the play, and sort of what's the through line or sort of the arc of action in making that change.
Because usually there is one.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Not always, though.
No, sometimes there are some plays more on the dramatic side where one person kind of stays the same and
sure.
Everybody else evolves around character. So I would imagine that'd be frustrating for an actor to have to...
But then it's fun because I think it gives you a lot to do knowing that you're going to end up. Yeah, it gives you a lot to work through. You know, I think there's more conflict in that sometimes. So it gives the actor a little bit more to play with than knowing that, okay, I'm going to break out of this rut that I'm in. But getting stuck in the rut and trying to fight through that through the entire play may actually be more interesting for an actor. I don't know.
Well, I have to see.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about some of the musicals and other plays that you've been in to kind of give us an idea of the scope of your work.
See, I've done a lot of musicals. I've done everything from the rock version of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Okay. All right. Nice.
I've done, you know, Seymour and Little Shop of Horrors. I love that play. I've done, you know, classical things like Once Upon a Mattress, Stephen Sondheim, everything, you know. I've also done a lot of dance, so not necessarily having a role in the musical, but being more of a dancer or backup chorus member. I've done things like that as well. I was a Protean, and Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And then it's funny because The first musical I was ever in was Urinetown.
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
So that was my first musical, and I was in the chorus of that musical and sort of the dance swing back up.
Mm-hmm.
And the last musical I was just in last month was Urinetown.
Oh, okay.
And I was actually Hot Blaze Harry, which is okay. one of the gangsters. He's got a little song number at the beginning of Act Two. So, yeah, it's funny to see how, you know, I started in this musical and over, 7 years have evolved to the same musical, but a different role.
Yeah. So is there one in particular that that is your favorite or that you would love to be in?
Oh, of course. Jeez. My favorite musical is West Side Story.
Okay.
I'd love to be in it, but I don't know if there's a role for me in there.
Okay.
You know? but I love Stephen Sondheim. Like, Into the Woods is the Baker in Into the Woods is a role I'd love to play someday. I think that'd be a lot of fun. You know, I like Wicked. You know, Next to Normal is on the high list. I also like some of those sort of new age rock musicals.
Okay.
Like Next to Normal sort of falls in that, and Spring Awakening.
Yes.
I really enjoy that musical as well. So those are some of my top ones.
The top ones? Yeah. So let's talk about what you're performing in here.
Okay.
At Great River.
Sure. Well, just so you all know, if you want to see me perform,
that's right.
The box office for Great River Shakespeare Festival's phone number is 507-474-7900. And the website is www.grsf.org.
There you go. That was smooth.
Yeah.
Did you prep him?
But sure, at Great River, I in Henry V, I'm performing the role of Montjoy, who's sort of the herald of the French. And in Twelfth Night, I am the second officer and attendant to Orsino's court, which is sort of it's interesting because Paul's sort of taking the show in a very interesting direction.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a bit of a Christmas Carol version of Twelfth Night. So,
okay.
But my role in that is sort of the attendant to Orsino, but also sort of a chorus for the show. So there's a good amount of singing in it, and me and four other people are sort of the carolers of the show. So that's a lot of fun as well.
So you got two opposite things going on between the plays.
Yeah,
so
you
get to work on.
Definitely.
You kind of have to split your brain between rehearsals, I'm guessing, because you probably have rehearsals for both going on at the same time, right?
Yes. And then there's also the understudy rehearsals. So
how many things are you understudying for?
I'm understudying Michael Fitzpatrick as Sir Toby Belch in Twelfth Night. So, you know, I've been going to all of his rehearsals plus mine for Twelfth Night plus the Henry V rehearsals and memorizing all the lines and the songs.
I don't even know how you begin to do all that.
Slowly.
You know, but I think that's a testament to your work and your talent. So congrats
on
that. I'm sure it's going to be a fulfilling summer for you.
I'm excited. I'm really happy to be here.
Are you going to be involved in the Calathump? Are you going to show a secret talent this year?
Yes.
Excellent. Are you allowed to talk about it or no?
I mean, I don't know. Well, technically, so me and a friend want to put together a number, but we don't know what, nor how, nor if it's actually going to happen.
Gotcha.
So probably shouldn't talk about it until the plans have been made.
Those who don't know, the Cattle Thump is the great variety show, and it's always a good time, and it's a great fundraiser for Great River Shakespeare Festival. Get a lot of funding for the upcoming years and to solidify Great River Shakespeare Festival's presence in the community, so everybody should make sure that they take time out to get tickets for that, because that usually goes like wildfire around here. So,
and it's on Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m.
Clear your calendars, people. Also, another event coming up that we will be talking about here at the radio station will be Chocolate Shakespeare and Champagne coming up this month. And I think that's June 19th, is it? Is that a Wednesday?
Is that on there at all?
No.
All right. Let me pull up Internet Explorer real quick. Hold on a second. I thought it was on a weird day this year, but I know you guys got the Alexander Mansion back.
Yeah.
Thank God.
The Historical Society, so they are the ones that you purchase the tickets from.
This is why I love to be able to edit everything I do. Saturday, June 15th, okay. 7 to 9. So let me go ahead and
Well, that's not a weird day.
No, I thought it was 19th for some reason. And I was like, oh, that's a Wednesday. You know? Like, who's going to... And we also have Chocolate Shakespeare and Champagne, which we'll be talking about more here on the station coming up. And that'll be Saturday, June 15th from 7 to 9. And that's an event through the Winona County Historical Society, where I like to say that's one of the best events of the year to start off the summer. I really do. So anything else you want to add? Do you have a website that people can find out more information about? Are you Twittering? Are you Facebooking? What's going on?
I don't have a website yet. Actually, I'm in the process of... building one at the moment, but if it goes up, it would probably be myname.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, understood. Well, thanks for taking time out for us here.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks again to Gerard Taylor from Great River Shakespeare Festival for visiting with us on Art Beat. More information on the Great River Shakespeare Festival can be found at www.grsf.org. You've been listening to Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.